Valor Odo Harris.
Welcome back to the Faceless Men podcast covering HBO's Game of Thrones television series. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm your host, Jesse.
And we are covering the Season 5 premiere, Episode 1, The War is to Come. What do you think about this, Jesse? Just initial thoughts overall.
Kickoff.
Really? I mean, I liked it. There are definitely parts I really enjoyed, but I felt overall, I mean, how many Jeffrey death scenes do you think this was worth?
Probably half.
A half? Yeah.
I'll give it a half.
I'd give it a quarter, Joffrey death.
It's not really what I expect from an opening premiere.
I think the writing was solid. The dialogue was awesome. But there really wasn't a lot of action to carry the diet. You know, I mean, I'm not much for just things full of dialogue. So I got to have some action to carry the day. And there really wasn't much of that. Let's go ahead and dig in to the episode. We got a new guy, a new player, as far as Game of Thrones is concerned. And it was directed by Michael Slavis, or Slovis. Sorry if I hack your name, Michael. He's new to Game of Thrones, but he started out as a cinematographer on the series Ed. And then he worked on the CSI television series, the procedural crime drama. He also worked on New Amsterdam, Fringe, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
Royal Pains, Rubicon, Running Wild, and Breaking Bad, all as a cinematographer. And then he went on later to direct episodes of Ed and CSI and Rubicon and Breaking Bad, Law and Order, Special Victim Unit, and Hell on Wheels. In 2006, he actually won a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Cinematography for a one-hour series on his work for CSI. So as a cinematographer, he definitely knows his stuff. He's has awards, and then he's a Breaking Bad alumni, alumnus. So I'm pretty sure that a lot of our TV people, they like Breaking Bad. I personally don't care for it, but I know a lot of people do. Also, the interesting is that this first episode, along with, I guess, a total of four, the first four episodes, were actually leaked by screeners. So if you're the piratey type, you can go out there and watch the first four episodes right now on DVD standard definition quality.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I haven't watched anything more than the season premiere. Have you watched anything?
I have not.
Have you watched ahead?
Nope.
I don't plan on it. I want to discover it along with our listeners. So the opening sequence, there wasn't much difference, except for I saw Winterfell is no longer on fire. There's no smoky shit coming from Winterfell.
I don't think I was paying that close enough attention.
I always look at the credits, because it always gives me a clue, maybe, well, where the episode's supposed to be
I was mainly looking for new places.
I was looking for new places. That's what I keep an eye out for, but I noticed Winterfell had nary a smoke.
Yeah.
You know, nothing was burning.
Is that because no one's there anymore?
It might be. Yeah. Or
all done burned up.
They've all been tortured to death. Maybe they should have put a flayed man out there. Maybe they did, and I didn't see it. Considering the Boltons are now in charge of Winterfell. The series opens up. I mean, obviously they had the recap, which was before the opening sequence, which really didn't do much for me.
No.
Except for I did like the closing scenes with where it recapped Jon Snow and it recapped Tyrion, which was probably the most interesting things to happen. And then we go straight into what we eventually find out as a flashback, but I didn't know what the hell was going on.
I actually thought it was Marcella to begin.
You did?
Marcella, Cersei's daughter.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
Like, that kind of doesn't look like...
I thought so, too, because when I thought that don't be afraid of my dad, I thought...
That's what kind of threw me. I'm like,
yeah.
Maybe there's something new here.
Yeah, because, you know, it was a blonde kid, so it was probably a Lannister, and I thought maybe they were in Dorne, too, and like, the brown-headed girl was some Dornish.
That's...
But the thing that made me think this isn't Dorne is they're in a fucking swamp.
Yeah.
So Dorne is, from what I understand, is, like, a deserty, arid place. It's not, it's not a swampy... marsh type area. The way it's been presented to me, I mean, if you look at the Viper and what was that, his stepsister or whatever they were sleeping with?
Yep.
Half sister or something. You know, they're wearing deserty type robes, flowing robes and stuff. It doesn't strike me as a marsh culture. We see this girl and her friend, a blonde girl and a brunette, very young, walking through a marsh, like a treed swamp. One is scared and the other is not. The blonde is not scared. The brunette's like, what if your dad finds out? And she's like, it's not my dad you have to be afraid of. As in, maybe it's her you need to be afraid of.
She came off very threatening there. Especially with that self-assured attitude she had.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so they come across this strange place in the middle of the woods, like a hut. And the first thing I thought of, it's a witch's hut.
That's exactly what
I mean, they did a good job. I mean, okay, so it's some witch living in the middle of the woods. And they're going to visit her. And it turns out that she's a witch, but she's a special kind of witch. She's a fortune teller. And I guess she can read people's fortunes through their blood.
A tad creepy.
Right. The blonde wants her future told. So the witch hands her, you know, after the initial thing, get the hell out of my place. And they're like, no, we're not going anywhere. And then she's like...
you want your future now, but you may not want it after you
know. Yeah. So it's a good thing we didn't know this beforehand, otherwise it would have spoiled everything, right? Or it would have spoiled everything for all the people who whine about spoilers. The girl, the blonde, pricks herself with the witch's dagger. The witch sucks on her finger, and then she goes into kind of like, not quite so trancey, but you know, somewhat of a trance, where she can ask where the girl can ask three questions. Remember what those three questions were?
No.
So the three questions for the fortune teller were, she's promised to the prince, when will she marry? And the witch is like, you're not going to marry a prince, you're going to marry a king. And then she's like, so will I be queen? The witch responds, for a time, but then a younger, more beautiful queen will cast you aside. So we can see here, and then the third one's a giveaway, right? Who this is. And the third one is, she's like, will I have any children or something like that? And she said, you'll have 3, but the king will have 20. And she's like, that doesn't make any sense. You know, the gold will be their crowns and their shrouds. So, you know, they'll die. They'll be born and died. They'll be heirs to the throne, and then they'll die, right?
So if Cersei remembers that, she knows exactly how many Baratheon
bastards there. Yeah, so she had already had this information way ahead of time. I had an inkling because, you know, I was like, wow, this little girl's a bitch. From what we've already been exposed to Cersei's daughter, she was very meek. We've never been given any inclination that she was a raging bitch like her mom.
But something tells me we would have if...
But it appears that Cersei has always been a bitch. I mean, she's just always been an asshole. Her whole life, been an asshole.
Oh, well, that's an odd way to tell a fortune. You just get 3 questions.
Yeah. It's...
yeah.
Throw away your questions pretty quick.
Yeah, poignant, yeah.
And this is kind of like an early exposure to magic. So, I mean, it's late in the series, but as far as chronology goes, this is an early exposure to magic in Westeros. Things that we haven't seen up until the time of the dragons, right?
Yep. It's supposed to die out and then come back, right?
Right. So magic has always been here, some, you know, in Westeros at some level. And this is pretty, I mean, because her fortune was pretty dead on. It wasn't even, like, vague. I guess there's a little vague shit in there, like the gold, the crowns, and their golden shrouds. I mean, other than that, it's pretty spot on. The question is, why didn't Cersei act on this sooner?
I don't know, because that also doesn't bode well for Tommen and Marcel either. The shrouds. The whole shrouds.
I guess the question is, did the shrouds apply to her children or the king's 20 or 17? You know, if we drew a Venn diagram, would Cersei's 3 also be inside the king's 20? Or they exist separately?
If we're talking about crowns, because you think about that, how many of the Baratheon bastards have had a crown versus Cersei's brood so far?
None of Baratheon's bastards have had a crown.
That's what I'm talking about. Gold their crowns, gold their shrouds.
Well, maybe the golden crowns were for her kids, and then the golden shrouds were for his kids. All bastards at some level. There's like no legitimate heirs to the fucking throne, so none of them came from Baratheon and Cersei, Robert and Cersei. They're either Cersei and Jaime, or Robert and some whore, or common folk. Or something like that. So it's strange. I guess I should have paid more attention to what the fortune teller said.
And that also gives you a clue why she thinks...
maybe why she has so much venom against Marge?
Yeah, exactly.
Against the Tyrell? She's pushing her out of the way. Obviously. Obviously that's already come true. So that must have been someplace on Lannister land. You know, obviously if it was within walking distance for young Cersei. Next, we make our way to King's Landing, where we see Cersei. She's walking up the steps to the Sept, and she's met by whatever the religious dude is. And it's like, wow, you know, the religious guy's like, oh, I'm glad you finally made it. You know, all these people are sitting here waiting to get in. They've traveled from all over the Seven Kingdoms. And she's like, they can keep waiting.
Yep, that's like Cersei. Gotta flaunt that power for as long as you can.
Cersei is visiting her father in the Sept. And Jaime's there, the King's Guard. Well, what were your thoughts about this scene?
My first thought was, oh God, are they going to do it tonight?
It's like funeral sex.
Yeah, is this going to be more
funeral rape?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be more funeral rape? Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I thought maybe there was going to be a trend, you know, it was going to continue the trend. But I guess that one thing, it was just a one-time thing. As they started talking, though, I was like, oh shit, does she know that Jaime released Tyrion and Tyrion killed her father?
Well, I think they know Tyrion.
Well, she asked. She ended up asking.
She knows Tyrion killed her father, right?
That is known, yes, that Tyrion killed Tywin. But she started asking, you know, are you the one that freed him? You know, because she starts the conversation that I've told you since the beginning, this monster is a problem, and you've always defended him. And then, of course, that is Tyrion.
I took that as going back to their childhood.
Well, yeah, so he's always defended Tyrion, even, you know, but Cersei has been mean to him since he was born, yep. Right? Because who was it? Oh, it was the Viper that told yep. him the story. It was the Viper that told him the story about how she'd go in there and pinch him really hard to make him cry.
Yep.
As a baby. So she's always had this unnatural hatred for her imp brother. Jaime's always defended him. One of his more endearing qualities, I guess, you know, sharply balanced by the part where he pushes children
pushes
out.
Pushes children out of windows.
out of tall, very high windows. But then she starts asking more pointed questions, you know, like, did you set him free? And then she makes the comment, at least Tyrion killed our father on purpose. You did it by mistake. And then, so Jaime's sitting here taking.
Kind of a nice jab.
He's kind of taking it all, isn't he? He's not even, like, defending himself or saying much of anything.
That woman is just full of venom. I think but she's just lashing out anyone she can at this point.
She says something interesting, though. And what she says is, you're a man of action. When it occurs to you to do something, you do it. Never mind the consequences. But let's think back all the things that he's done. Like, he just did it and said, fuck the consequences.
Child window pushing?
Okay, child window pushing at the very beginning. But and that's at the beginning of our knowledge of the series. Well, even before that, what did Bran come in on?
Yeah, incest.
Incest. Adultery. Yeah. First of all, he's fucking the king's wife, which also happens to be his sister. That's seven kinds of fucking wrong, right?
Yeah. Multiple strikes against you.
Yeah, so you know, well, I guess depending on your perspective, you know, like in reality, historically, there's a lot of incest among aristocracy and nobles, right? Because you had to keep that blood shit to yourself, pure. Right? Yeah. So and we all know what happens with purebreds.
An extra large forehead.
They get fucked up over time. So yeah, so let's start with the adultery and incest and screwing the king's wife and fathering children with her and then pushing Bran out the window for seeing that what their activities, their extracurricular activities. Oh, wait, we can go back even further. He slayed the Mad King, right? So that was something he just did without thinking of the consequences. Or maybe he did. I guess he kind of did. He talked to Brienne about that.
Such a bad rap about that.
Well, I mean, he did. He did take an oath to protect the king, and then he ends up killing him. I think that. I guess he didn't think of the consequences. I don't think he thought that people would think of him as the Kingslayer.
No,
that was a consequence he did not think about. But he did think that, hey, this guy's going to kill lots of innocent people.
Yeah,
and he
needs to die. It would have mattered.
Right.
I think he would have still done it.
Well, what else? Oh, he didn't think, or maybe he did. But these are things that we can discuss. Becoming a Kingsguard in the first place. His father hated the idea of it. Yep. But he did it anyways.
It's like her jab there at the beginning.
Yeah, that was her jab. So, you know, here you are.
Yeah, you didn't. Father didn't want you to be a Kingsguard. Now you're a Kingsguard guarding his corpse.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, things that he just did without consequence. Raping Cersei at the last funeral they attended together.
Wow.
And what's the most recent thing he did without thinking about the consequences?
Freeing Tyrion.
So, you know, there's a big list here. You know, 7 to 10 things. You might be able to consolidate a few of those into one action or whatever. But he's always... Oh, wait, he equipped Brienne, remember? He equipped Brienne with the... Didn't he give her his sword?
Valyrian steel sword.
Yeah, and armor.
What was the name of that sword? Oathkeeper?
Oathkeeper, yeah. Lots of things he does just, you know, because he thinks it needs to be done. Because he's a man of action. Which, that is a double-edged sword because the things that he does because he's a man of action are the things we hate him for, but also the things we like him for. So weird. What do you think... Bring this up, you know, he's kind of left to chew on what she said. What do you think is going through his mind?
I don't know what he's thinking now, although I don't think he's liking Cersei very much anymore. I think he's kind of getting disenchanted.
Well, what does he think about what his brother did? So, does he agree with Tyrion's actions murdering their father? If he doesn't agree with Tyrion's actions murdering his father, then how does he feel about his responsibility for his father's death?
I don't know. I didn't get enough read on him.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's not much to read.
Yeah, because maybe he blames himself a little bit, but at the same time, I don't think...
Yeah, I think...
He doesn't seem like the person who...
I think because...
Wallowing in that kind of self-pity for...
Well, and before... During the whole trial of Tyrion, he pretty much asked his father to, you know... I think he was against the whole idea in the first place. It's like, you need to drop this shit.
Yeah.
This is not, you know, this is not what we do as Lannisters to each other.
That'd be very conflicting, because he did like and respect
his father. And you know what? Why is Cersei getting upset? Now that he's dead, she doesn't have to marry freaking Loras, right?
Man, I don't think she's necessarily upset about that.
Well, I don't think she's upset about her father dying at all.
She's just seeing Calbase Road.
It is a reason for her to be an asshole to someone.
Venomous.
Yes. I don't think she cares about her father being dead.
No.
And I think Jaime's saddened by the event, but I don't think that he blames Tyrion. I mean, Tywin got what he deserved.
I'm definitely not disagreeing with that.
So, Tyrion was definitely his son, and Tywin got the, you know, he reaped the seeds he sowed. I think that maybe Jaime, I think ultimately Jaime probably feels that, hey, this is one big fucked up situation, but you know what? Dad got what he deserved, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But he was a dick. And everybody knew he was a dick. And, you know, now everybody's, you know, he also said something else, which was interesting, that everybody's just waiting to see his corpse before they start moving in on Lannister territory.
Yeah, because that dude was a powerhouse. He was...
The Lannisters were also broke. Remember that?
That is true. So now...
They, you know, how are they going to defend all their shit?
He was the one holding everything at bay.
Yes.
And he was also the one who...
By pure force of will. It wasn't even gold anymore. They didn't have gold. They couldn't pay their debts.
Yep.
You know, they're up in Hawk to their... Above their heads to the Bank of Braavos, right? The Iron Bank. And so now that they see he's dead... I mean, because Jaime's Kingsguard, so he can't take over...
He's renounced his title, basically.
Right. He has no title. And then Cersei's not queen anymore.
Nope.
So she's... As far as men in Westeros are concerned, she's nothing. At least Jaime has something he can do. He can throw... You know, he's got a role. Kingsguard. What's Cersei going to do? She's not the queen anymore.
Isn't Tommen the king now?
Yeah, Tommen's the king, and Margaery's married to him, right?
Yeah, so it's mother to...
She's the queen.
Mother to the king?
She's, I guess...
how much...
She's
how
not
much
even...
How much does that buy you?
Well, yeah, so before the prince gets married, or the king gets married, right, when he's still a child, the mother is queen regent, so you're actually in control. But when he's married, then that pretty much means that you have a king and a queen, you know, and that's it, right?
Yeah. So you're just back.
You're nothing.
How much does that buy you?
And I'm sure that's also adding to her rage, you know, trying to figure out what the fuck her next move is, even though she's known it since a child what was going to happen to her. So we leave King's Landing, and we go to Pentos, and we find a dwarf in a box. What do you think about...
Apparently a dwarf that hasn't washed and hasn't been let out of that box the entire shit time.
Did they actually say how long it was?
They didn't say how long it was, but they
weeks.
Said, yeah.
It was weeks he was stuck in a box.
But they definitely said they did not let him out, even though they could have.
Well, you know, Varys made a point. He's like, look, I'm the one who aided your escape, so no one can know. And that's why you had to stay in the box.
Yeah.
So what's with, you know, Varys has a reputation now with people in boxes. Remember the Dickromancer?
Yep.
Cut off his wang.
Yep.
And then he had that guy in a box. We don't even know what happened to that dude.
I'm sure.
Maybe he was in another
he
box.
Got his, I'm sure.
Maybe he brought him with him in another box.
Yeah.
He had two dudes in a box.
More Dickromancy. He's going to take up his own Dickromancy.
Yeah, he's like, why did I have to stay in the fucking crate? And because I helped you escape. And no one can know that I helped you escape, so you had to stay in the fucking crate. And then, so this is probably one of the better scenes of the episode, because it has, first of all, Peter Dinklage is on it with his dialogue. Tyrion's dialogue with Varys here is very sharp and witty. So the writers were on it, and...
First thing he goes for is the wine, of course.
Which he pukes up, right?
Yeah. So, but continues drinking.
But, you know, he had to get the shit out of his system, right? But, you know, the gods of tits and wine abide, so you have to keep going. But then he's like, do you know what it's like to stuff your shit through one of those air holes?
Because I love this part. No, but I know what it's like to pick it up and throw it over.
Yeah. So it's like, what's worse, shoving your own shit out of an air hole or having to pick up somebody else's shit and dispose of it?
I think that second one's worse.
Well, at least you're free.
But then again, yeah.
You're not stuck in the
box.
It's
pretty hard to maneuver in that box.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Probably a little bit easier for Tyrion than the Dickromancer to maneuver, though.
And then, so we find out that it's at his ally's palace in Pentos, and it's the same guy who gave, I'm pretty sure it's the same guy who gave Daenerys the dragon eggs.
Oh.
So at the very beginning, all the way back, Ilrio something, I can't pronounce his name, I forget who he is, but I'm pretty sure it's the same guy that helped Daenerys on her way. Because, you know, this is where he reveals that he was part of this grand conspiracy to put a Targaryen back on the throne. Tyrion's like, so why did you save me? He's like, because your brother asked me to. He's like, oh, that's bullshit, that's not a reason why you saved me. He's like, well, you know, I think, you know, you're a swell guy. Because he asked, he's like, you know, would you be an asshole if you were on the throne, would you be a dick? Tyrion's like, I won't ever sit on the throne. And he's like, you're right. And then, you know, Tyrion's like, you know, a dwarf is not going to be a savior to anyone.
Yeah.
You know. And
he's talking about saving the country.
Right. You know, so it's Valerys' big thing. He didn't do it, so he didn't He didn't save Tyrion because his brother asked him to. He saved Tyrion for the same reason he does everything.
And the same, the thing he's professed since pretty much the beginning.
Which is what?
I'm here for Westeros.
Right. For the Seven Kingdoms. He does it for the Seven Kingdoms. And then he kind of, you know, is like, yeah, I don't believe in saviors. There's no such thing as saviors, but what I believe is talented men that can make a difference.
He's very right. Right? He definitely still has some use for Tyrion.
You know, he talks about how maybe we've been beat up and shit on for so long, we forgot that there's any other way things can be. Whereas, you know, it doesn't have to be the powerful preying on the powerless. And Tyrion's like, well, it's always been that way. That's how the powerful got in power to begin with, by preying on the powerless.
He's not wrong.
You know, neither one of them's wrong. It's not the only state of being, but that's also how power works, especially in a feudal medieval society. I mean, the people in charge at some point took stuff from the other people and made themselves in charge. It's not like, you know, somebody popped out of a womb somewhere in the Neanderthal days and, you know, some light shined on him saying that he was the king.
But it's my God-given right to rule. It's
right. Divine. Yeah. Divine providence or whatever the hell it's called. I forget. I'm sure some listener is going to correct me on that. It's called this. The divine right to rule. It, you know, he's thinking that. So he, and then he lays out his plan. I've been part of this conspiracy to put a Targaryen back. Oh, he doesn't say Targaryen. To put a person back on the throne that can, that is intimidating enough to put the High Lords in their place, yet loved by the people, and has a name to back it up. So this is like, this is Valyrian's criteria. They have to have a family name to make it legitimate. They have to be feared and have a powerful army and the muscle. They have to have the muscle to back up their bullshit to put all the other wannabes and, you know, usurpers in their place. And then three, they have to be loved by the people and they have to care for the people. That combination of traits is fucking rare, and that's why Tyrion's like, good luck finding him.
Yeah.
And then he's shot, he of course shoots back and says, well, who said anything about him? And then he proposes to Tyrion, instead of drinking yourself to death, he's like, you can drink yourself to death in this palace if you want. I'll leave you here. He's like, but why don't you come with me on the road to Meereen and meet Daenerys Targaryen? See what we can do. Because I think she's the savior of.
And she definitely
fits, even though he doesn't believe in saviors,
does fit quite a bit of that criteria.
She does. I mean, she does care about the people. It's been proven.
I'm not sure how feared she is, but she does have dragons and a pretty.
She has the Unsullied.
Yeah, she's got a pretty sweet army.
I mean,
and she. I mean, she's done.
People in Slaver's Bay fear her.
Yeah, especially the aristocracy.
It's unfortunate, you know, all that stuff. Of course, you know, people feared her when she was just starting out before she had an army. Remember, because they sent an assassin to kill her.
What was mostly the name, though.
Well, they feared her.
Well, I guess that's true.
But now all the people in Westeros don't have a fucking clue what's going down over here in, was Ios? I forget. Forgive me. It's been a while. My Game of Thrones stuff is rusty and I haven't Essos? Greased it before today. Essos, that's it. Essos.
I can remember the name of the sword. I can remember the name of the continent. I can remember the name of Marge.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Marjorie Tyrell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and so all these people are caught up in their own Game of Thrones, right, over in Westeros. And then the North, of course, is all embroiled with Stannis and the White Walkers. And no one is paying any attention to all this shit that's happening over in Essos. But if they ever make it across, then I guarantee she'll be coming. I mean, because no one's got a force like the Unsullied.
No.
Super disciplined. And then, you know, she has the Miscreant Second Sons mercenary company, too. So, and the new Dario. Dario the Third, I think.
I thought it was a new person. Yeah, I'm like, that guy doesn't look like
I'm that. Pretty sure he's the third actor to take the role. That role is cursed, I guess. Along with the Mountain. The Mountain is also some role that, a fairly important role.
They recast him, right?
But it's still the same big dude, right?
Okay.
So in the early seasons, it was a tall, very tall, but lanky guy. And then they cast the current dude, who's like a world.
Was a football player.
He's a weightlifting, like, champion.
Yeah, dude's
he's
big.
A record breaker. Yeah,
dude's pretty big.
He's huge. And then, you know, he asked him to think about the future. He also think, you know, he's asking to think about the future, and Tyrion says something funny. He's like, the future is shit, just like the past.
I loved his line of acceptance, though. Yeah, can I drink myself on the road?
Yeah,
to Meereen?
Yeah, he's like, you know what? I don't, you know, fuck the palace. Yeah, I'll drink myself to death on the road. If I make it there, I make it there. If not, you know, may the gods of tits and wine, you know, forgive me or whatever. when we leave Pintos for Maureen to catch up with Danny, and we see, what did they open the scene with?
They were tearing down the statue on top of the
pyramid.
The pyramid,
yeah. The harpy, which I guess is a symbol of slavery or something.
Okay, that's why. Okay.
Yeah, it's a symbol of the wise masters, which is, you know, well, represents slavery.
Tearing it down, then.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that isn't, at first I didn't know that, like, until they did the little wider shot with the thing sliding down, then you could see it was actually the Unsullied tearing it down.
Yeah, yeah. So they tear that down, kind of, you know, it's a symbolic gesture saying, hey, these fuckers are no longer in control. We don't do slavery here anymore. And we're going to have to think about a new name instead of Slaver's Bay. Freedman Bay. You see what happens next, though? Like, what they cut to? Where the lone Unsullied guy's... Where's he going?
I thought this was really strange, because you see him passing people who are clearly bearing their chest at him. Like, so it's like, okay, that's...
Yeah,
he's passing a whole bunch of prostitutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's Unsullied.
So yeah,
he's... What is he here for? Because he doesn't have the parts, necessarily.
So he actually gets to, I guess, someone he's visited before. She knew. She's like, you want the same thing? Because she tried to undress, you know, take his pants off. And he's like, no, you don't want to see what's down there. Or what's not down there. Or what's left of down there. And she starts getting undressed. And he's like, no, you don't have to do that. But he's already paid. And so, basically, she lays down with him and, like, sings him a lullaby or something.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, the Unsullied...
They were children to start, right?
Right. They were they never had... a childhood. So I think he's just there, you know, like in kind of a surrogate mother.
Yep.
Is what he's looking for. A surrogate mother who sacrifices her own child. Because it was her that drew the dagger across his throat, right?
Yep. No, it was...
No, I thought it was her.
I didn't think it was her. I think it was the...
Well, the angle of the knife where she was laying behind him, there's nothing behind her but a wall. So it had to be...
Yeah, but when she stood up, I didn't see a knife and... I didn't think I saw him there.
Okay, well, of course, one of the masked, wise masks, or I guess he was a wise master, a dude in a mask, was there. And then, of course, news makes it to Danny, and she requests what?
That he be buried with honors.
Right, at where?
I can't remember the name of that.
It's the Temple of the Graces, which I guess is the wise masters, you know, all the slave owners. Basically their mausoleum, I guess, is what I'm guessing.
Putting a slave soldier in their mausoleum, that'll push them.
Yeah, so that's what she says, right?
What was the name? I think the Harpies was the name of that organization. Is that what they call themselves?
The Harpies, I don't know.
That was the masked people.
I don't know what that name is, what the name of that organization is. I just know that they're part of the Wise Masters.
They said they called them something.
Oh, really? The Harpies?
Yeah, because they said they hadn't killed before now. So they obviously had run-ins before.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're going to bury him with honors in their most sacred burial place. And, you know, one of the, I guess he's a freedman, right? Was like, why are you going to do that? They're just going to piss him off. And she's like, exactly. It's easier to cut the head off a snake when it's all, you know, visible striking at you. Yeah. You know, of course you have to dodge the strikes, but it does make it easier to at least, you know, take some chops at it. And then we see Grey Worm's friend. I forget her name. It begins with an M. Do you remember her name?
No.
Begins with an M.
She's not a sword or a combat.
But so she asks to speak with him privately, and he dismisses all his troops, right? And then she's like, she asked the same question we just asked. Why are the Unsullied going to brothel?
And he didn't know.
He said he didn't know.
Yeah, the look on his face kind of led that he had an inkling. He had an idea.
I think he knows. Well, why wouldn't he tell her?
I don't know why he wouldn't tell her.
I think he's embarrassed.
Oh, that's true.
Or he's either embarrassed or he thinks that maybe it's not his place to reveal why they would want to go there. Because, you know, it's also a weakness, right? It shows it's a chink, you know, it's a chink in their reputation as being fearless, bloodthirsty warriors, right? If everybody thinks Unsullied is really looking for his lost mommy.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know why he didn't tell her. I mean, she's trusted. It's not like I don't see her as someone to go blathering about it.
No, he's told her personal things before.
Right, but for whatever reason, he didn't want to share this. I think he knows. Maybe he's embarrassed because he goes there and does the same thing.
That's kind of, that was my thought, too.
Okay.
And I always thought that was a very public place to be talking to. This is like, even though it's probably the Unsullied's armory, right?
But that's true too. Maybe that's why I didn't say anything, because it's kind of like, well, the walls have ears, and I'm not going to share this with you here.
I mean, there are probably people walking in and out of that place.
We leave Marine, go from the arid deserts of Marine to the cold cliffs of the wall, and we see Sam and Gilly are contemplating the next in line for Lord Commander of the Night's Watch.
And it shows John doing some training with the kid.
Yes, he's the kid that shot his girlfriend, right?
Yep.
Ygritte?
Yep.
So at least he harbors no ill will. I mean, the kid was just thought he was saving his life, so that is a point for John. You know, at least he's not... I don't think he was any more rough than he would be with anybody, you know, because...
Agreed, it was, yeah.
It's like, hey, you need to learn this or you're going to die.
If anything, he probably could have been more rough with the kid.
Would be worse is not training at all.
Yeah,
because that would guarantee his death.
Yep.
So I think John has come to terms. But what's Gilly afraid of?
She doesn't like the Lord Commander.
Or the one that's possibly next in line.
Yeah.
The Lord Commander's dead.
Yeah, you're right.
And then I guess the way it works, all the men vote for the next one. So it's sort of a democracy in the Night's Watch.
Yeah, but wasn't that that dude was a total dick, and didn't he hide?
Yeah, well, his buddy hid,
okay,
right?
Yeah, I thought it was him that was hiding.
No, it was his right-hand man that hid, and because he hid in the same place Gilly was hiding.
Yeah, and he's still around, isn't he?
Yeah, he was beside him, standing beside him.
I don't think, something tells me that that doesn't, there was, if that was widely known, that dude would have been taken care of.
Well, I think that she would be too afraid to say anything about it for fear of her own life. And her kid, you know. She's got her kid.
She would have at least told Sam, I feel like.
Well, maybe Sam knows, but he's also afraid that something would happen to her. Because he's that, her and the kid. It's Alistair Thorne, that's his name. Alistair Thorne. But I think it's all fear, right? There's no sense. And also, it's leverage. So there's no reason to spoil your leverage until you need to, right?
That's true.
So while John's training, Melisandre comes up to him and is like, hey.
Sam's comment there. Because Gilly's like, shouldn't you go join them? Shouldn't you be training too? And he's like, no, I'm probably the only person here who's killed a White Walker and a Thit.
Yeah, he shouldn't be getting too full of himself, no, should he? Yeah. He's right, but, yeah, okay. It's funny how he lucked out that way.
Yeah.
He also made the comment that
it's funny that he thinks that gives him a pass.
Yeah. He also told her that he'd go anywhere she'd go. But then she's like, if you leave, you'll be executed. He's like, oh, yeah.
That's kind of scrunched
up. It's a big drag. So it's kind of interesting, this Night's Watch organization. There's a bit of democracy. There's a bit of fascism.
And yet, you can still hide and not do your duty.
Well, yeah. Well, he's not a fighter. He's one of the...
I was speaking about that...
The one asshole.
Yeah.
Alistair Thorne's right-hand flunky. So Melisandre comes and summons Jon to the king. Stannis Baratheon.
I figured there would be some shadowing making or some more.
Well, what did she ask John on the way up to the top?
I can't remember. This is because I was thinking the entire time. I was thinking, oh God, what's
going on? Okay, so she asked John if he's a virgin.
Oh yeah,
because virgin blood, of course, is more powerful. And he says no. And then what? Do you remember what she says? And he says no, I'm not a virgin. So she's like, good, as in like, why is that good? I think it's good because she really didn't want to kill him. But if he was a virgin, she was totally going to kill him or torture him, like she did
more of those
Robert Baratheon's bastard, right? Yeah. Because I think she senses with him very strong blood, maybe not a Stark blood, right? Because that's a running theory that he's actually a Targaryen. Oh yeah, and he asks her, he's like, aren't you cold? And she's like, no, I got the fires of the Lord inside me. He's like, feel
it.
And he's like, so she like has a fever that keeps her warm in the middle of ice. It's interesting. And so he gets up to the top of the wall and he meets with Stannis and Davos. You know, they're having a discussion about Winterfell. Do you know who controls it? Do you know who's
it's currently Roose Bolton.
Yeah, Roose Bolton with his flayed men. And he asks Jon, you know, don't you want revenge? Do you remember what John said?
I'm a man of the Night's Watch.
Well, he said, I want a great many things, but I'm a man of the Night's Watch, and, you know, my duty's here. Because basically he's like, I want to take Winterfell. Stannis says he wants to take Winterfell, but he needs more men. John's like, well, the Night's Watch, you know, are bound to guard the wall. And he's like, I don't want the Night's Watch. He's like, I want the wildlings. John's like, stunned. He's like, you want the wildlings to fight for you? And he's like, yeah. And so what was Stannis' ultimatum?
He wants John to. He has till nightfall to go and try and convince the King Beyond the Wall to basically join, bend knee to Stannis.
Bend a knee. It's a specific action.
That's not going to happen.
And it's like, that's unlikely. He's like, well, that's unfortunate, because if he doesn't, he's going to burn. And he's like, well, how long do I have? You said, till nightfall or whatever. And Jon's like, fuck, this ain't ever going to happen. You know, and they talk. He's like, you like him, don't you? You like Mance. He's like, well, I respect him. And he's like, well, he likes you too. So, you know, you need to go convince him to swear fealty to the king, the one true king.
And I want to talk about, because they mention the deal, you know, because basically they give them land.
Oh, yeah.
To...
which Davos said was very fair, more than fair.
And I completely agree with that.
Right, so they were going to make them citizens of the kingdom, give them land to live on after they fight.
And they were already prepared to do battle to do just that. Now they can do it with a bit more of an army at their back.
Well, I don't think that they are ever going to become citizens of the kingdom. I think they just want to carve out their own space where people leave them the fuck alone.
Yeah, but there's no way you can take that and hold that with. You'd have to...
maybe. They're going to try.
Yeah, they were definitely going to try.
They'd rather die on the swords of the southern enemy than at the hands of the White Walkers. So that's a more lovely death than, you know, whatever awaits them when winter comes. So we leave the wall and we go to the Vale, and we see Robin is sparring with some squire, but...
loved this scene. Oh,
Robin, what do you think about his skill?
He was getting his ass kicked.
He's
fantastic.
Whiny, isn't he? Yeah.
Just getting beat up.
I know, man. Could you imagine being tasked with that? As a, you know, it's kind of like, well, this is the heir apparent to...
and you got
to
teach him how to...
the Vale. And, you know, you got to teach him to not be a whiny bitch.
That other kid was definitely... you could tell he was just holding his back, because he's just like half-assed in the swings.
Yeah, so...
and Robin still looked like he was taking a beating.
So, you remember what happens while they're sitting there watching? Because it's Sansa, Peter Baelish, and then...
I can't remember that guy's name.
I can't remember the lord. But he's one of the lords of the Vale. They're sitting there watching Robin unsuccessfully spar.
Making comments saying his kids were born with a sword in their... and pretty much had a sword in their hand since birth, and here's Robin...
well, he suckled. He had a tit in his mouth until just recently.
Yeah.
Baelish actually got something, though, during that conversation.
He gets a message, yeah.
But he doesn't share it with anybody.
No, Sansa's eyeing him pretty
hard. Yeah, so what do you think the message was?
I don't know. I think maybe the Tywin's death, maybe?
It could have been Tywin's death. I don't know if that... well, people had already arrived at the Sept, so I think that message has already gone out.
Maybe not as far north as they were.
Well, they did say all over the Seven Kingdoms.
Oh, yeah.
So if we just go by what the dude said, that people have come all over from all over the Seven Kingdoms, then based on that, we can assume that the Vale already knows about Tywin's death. So what could that message be? My first guess is that Varys and Tyrion have arrived in Pentos.
I feel like that one's unlikely.
You don't think so?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think... you definitely know that Baelish would definitely want to keep an eye on
Well, he's got spies everywhere, just like the Spy Master. So he's like the Spy Master second.
Yeah.
So I think it's either that, or it's news about Arya, maybe where she's gone.
My thoughts are it's either... I really don't feel like it'd be Varys. I think it may be something to do with North.
Or it could be Stannis has arrived at the Wall.
That's more my thinking.
Okay, so we have three possibilities. I'm leaning towards it has to do with Varys, because those two are like, they're always sparring against each other.
Yeah, that makes sense why...
but it could be also Stannis. News from the north that Stannis arrived at the Wall with a mercenary company.
I feel like the whole Varys and Tyrion thing was pretty sudden, so it's not like you can just be like...
well, Varys didn't hide anything, though. He was visible. He didn't hide himself.
Yeah, he left.
Everybody knows that he left.
Yeah.
And probably where he was going. So
that's why I feel... well, but the... yeah, so, yeah.
It's also pretty hard to hide huge troop movements like Stannis' mercenary company that he paid for with Iron Bank gold.
Yeah.
But yeah, it could be news from the Wall. It could be news of Varys, or it could be news of Arya. I don't think it's news of Tywin's death. I think that's already been dispersed. So as they're leaving, Baelish says, I hope by the next time we see him, his skills will be vastly improved. Do you remember what the Lord said?
He just kind of groaned.
Yeah, he said something like, well... he'll be safe here. As far as his skills, I make no promises. Frankly, I hope Robin dies somewhere, because his character kind of sucks and grates on my nerves. So we switch from...
I hope he makes a complete 180.
Baelish and Sansa. What? No.
I just want to see that. Complete 180? Because I know it pisses you off.
That wouldn't make any sense. So we go from Sansa and Baelish to Brienne and Pod, and they're kind of discussing what's next, right? So they lost Arya, she turned her down, right?
They're talking about going north to Jon.
Right, because that's her bastard brother, half-brother. But, so what's Brienne's reaction to Pod?
She just kind of lets him go. She's kind of snappish.
Yeah, she's very short with him, and it's kind of like, well, you can. What are you still doing? The only reason you came this far because they were afraid that, you know, if they caught you in King's Landing, you were dead. But out here, no one knows your face, so you're free to go.
Yep.
You know, what does he say?
He's like, I'm a squire. I'm not leaving you.
And she's like, what's a squire?
He kind of says,
well, what is a squire? A
servant to a knight.
An attendant to a knight. Well, I'm not a knight.
So you're fine. You're gone.
And he's like, well, where do I go? So I don't care. I'm not your mother. So, and then he reminds her that, you know, well, you know, we can find Arya. And she's like, well, she didn't want my help. Well, Sansa's still out there. And he's like, I didn't ask you. What was the one thing Brienne wanted to do? Do you remember what she said?
No.
She said that all she wanted to do was fight for somebody she believed in or something like that. But all the good lords are dead and the rest are monsters.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember that line.
Yeah.
Because that was a really good line.
Yeah, it was a really good line.
She's not entirely wrong. I mean, all the open lords, anyway. The people that you actually think can do something, unless she decides to...
The ones that she were aware of, right? So yeah. Stannis is an asshole. The Lannisters are assholes. Roose Bolton's an asshole. The one that she wanted to fight for, like... So who's the one she was with earlier?
Stannis' brother.
Renly.
Yeah.
Renly...
I was going to say Riley, but...
Renly's dead, killed by a shadow baby. Robb Stark and his mom murdered at the Red Wedding.
Yeah, cause she upheld some oaths to her.
Right.
That's why she was so gung-ho about finding
And Jaime turned out to be a dick. You know, kind of turned her away down there in King's Landing. Probably for her own good.
Yeah. There's no way that Cersei wouldn't have done something.
Yeah, Brienne made the smart choice to get the fuck out of Dodge.
Because it seemed like Jaime started to have a little bit of thing for her.
Yes.
I don't think Cersei would have taken that long.
Well, so then as they're talking, they see a kind of like a caravan come along, and who's inside the caravan?
It's Sansa.
And Baelish. But not going, so they told the Lord that they're going to the Fingers, but they're not going to the Fingers. Where are they going?
They're south, aren't they?
I thought they said west.
Oh, west. So I think it's south.
I'm trying to think, if they're heading west, that's away from the coast, right? The coast would be east, because the Vale's right on the coast, the Eyrie's near the coast. So they're heading west, and he says, you know, because she asked, you know, where we, do you not trust, you know, the good Lord? And he's like, well, he may be as honorable as he thinks he is, but I don't trust, he's like, do you trust every lord and lady that lives in that castle? No. And so she fires back, do you trust all the people that's, you know, driving the carriage and riding the horses with you, all the guards and shit? And he's like, no, but I pay them well, and they see what happens to people who betray me.
A little bit of fear.
You're right.
So it's carrot and stick.
So they're going west, I think is what he says. Somewhere where?
I do not.
He said, somewhere far from here where Cersei Lannister cannot get her hands on you. So he's moving under the pretense that Cersei still wants to kill Sansa, which I'm sure is on her list, but at the very, not near the top somewhere.
No, I think, yeah, Cersei's going to be like...
Cersei has other things on her mind right now.
She's going to be trying to hold on to power as much as she can.
So I don't know where they're going that's west, other than, I mean, maybe unless I heard that
maybe
wrong.
Maybe they're going to Dorne.
I thought, when I was thinking at first, my first thought was that they were going to sail over Pinto to Pentos.
Or Dorne's East.
Dorne's south.
Yeah, Dorne's south.
West are really the hoping. Are the we do not sow.
Yeah.
The Greyjoys are west, right?
I wonder if Baelish has...
I can't remember. Maybe I misheard and said east.
I have a map all wrong in my head, I think.
Yeah, I could have it all wrong in my head too, but I could have swore he said west. And if they're heading west, I don't know what else is over there. But as far as the episode, it goes back to King's Landing, and we see Cersei suffering the condolences from the people at her father's wake. You know, everybody's like, so it starts out with Loras, right? Giving this big...
What did he come... Formidable? Is that what he was calling
it? Yeah, I don't know. Lots of big words. And really long and winded.
Kept going back to one specific thing, though. Yeah. And I think it was formidable. Your father was...
Yeah.
Formidable. I think it was formidable.
Walks away from him, and then who do we see next? Oh, Pycelle.
Yeah.
That cocksucker.
Long-winded douche. He just starts giving it. She just kind of gives him the cold shoulder and walks on.
I shouldn't call him a cocksucker. Is that That's bad for all the good, decent cocksuckers out there in the world. We need decent cocksuckers out there. He's just a dick. She actually doesn't even pay attention to him. She just keeps walking, right? As he's giving his piece. Like, oh, we know you're all full of shit, you old lecher. Finally, we come across someone I didn't... The only reason I tied them together is because they showed his face in the recap, right? Lancel, her cousin Lancel. Yeah. So he was the one that got Robert really drunk and maybe added some stuff to his wine so that eventually he, when he was killing the boar, he'd get gored. But he's all like holy or something now, right? He's
that was in a really weird outfit that he was.
He's in a cult.
Yeah.
He's in a religious cult. Remember what they're called?
I don't remember the name.
The Sparrows. He's a sparrow now, is what.
Oh, that was so...
Cersei was told.
So weird. She was the one who was... Because he was at the Battle of Blackwater.
Right, and he got injured.
Yeah.
Yeah. And before that, Cersei was banging him while Jaime was gone.
That's what I was
remembering. Yeah, yeah. So, which, of course, all comes up in the following conversation.
He apologizes, said he let her...
Yeah, because he wants her forgiveness, right? And she's like, what in the world would I ever have to forgive you for? And he brings up, you know, playing a part in Robert's murder, incest extravaganza. and she just pretty much like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
It just kind of...
He wasn't murdered, and we never did anything wrong. So she denies everything. Now, I have to ask, why'd they bring him back? So he's got a role to play now, right?
With the Sparrows. Are they linked to...
This is the first time we heard of it, because remember what that guy told Cersei is that when her father was the Hand, these guys would never be inside King's Landing. They would never dare to come inside. So some religious cult, obviously... Because he says something about the Seven, right?
Yeah.
So they worship the Seven, some kind of cult that worships the Seven. They look like monks. And that's as much as we know. That's as much as we've been given, because we've never encountered this particular cult before. But I imagine they introduced him back in because now we're going to get to know the cult. We're going to figure out what the Sparrows are doing.
Yeah.
Why are they called? And why are they called Sparrows? Would be interesting. And then we go to Loras doing some hot, sweaty man sex, man-on-man action. And then his lover there, I believe his name is Oliver. Was that a birthmark on Loras? Was that a birthmark?
I don't know what they were talking about.
So there's a dark spot on Loras's skin, and his lover's
I don't know what they were just talking about. I had mountains, and I'm like,
No, it said it looked like Dorne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then they start describing the geography of Dorne, which is weird. The birthmark thing is weird.
I don't know what that was for.
I guess it was just they needed something to have small talk about, and you know, it's like, well, it's kind of cliche to give Loras a mole or something, so we're going to give him this Dorne-shaped birthmark. Which, you know, so they have some kind of conversation while they're doing it in bed, I guess, sex position. Except we didn't really get much out of it. And then Marjorie comes barging in. Marge the barge.
Not knocking.
Well, yeah, she barged.
Yeah.
Barged right in.
Barging.
And, you know, obviously it's not a surprise that Loras is gay. But she's kind of like, hey, you're keeping the king waiting. And it's like, well, fuck that. I don't care. And then she says something about his betrothed. And he's like, now that Tywin's dead, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
He accuses her of being upset about it, and she's like, well, why would I be upset? Well, because if she doesn't come back to Highgarden with me, that means she's going to be in your hair.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure you're upset that's not going to happen.
And she makes a couple comments about him, like, keeping the whole man-on-man thing at low profile.
Oh, that's true. He's like, well, who cares? Everybody knows. In this town, everybody knows, so what's the difference?
Yeah.
But I think more importantly than that, do you remember what she said about Cersei?
Oh, if she's still around.
Oh, yeah. She's insinuating that she won't be around.
Yeah.
So,
I like that.
We just had the question earlier, what's Cersei going to do?
How many death scenes or Joffrey death scenes do you think Cersei's death will be?
10.
Or are we going to have to create a new schedule?
10. Fucking 10. So, our old scale is now defunct and worthless. We'll have to create a new scale. Well, the problem with her scale is that every other scene will be so... won't ever register on it. So can't have her. You can't have a Cersei death scene.
It's not a baseline.
Scale. Yeah, that's not a good baseline, man. So, okay, so we had the question earlier. So what will Cersei do? And then we have someone here who has obvious plans for what Cersei is going to do. But we know Marjorie. She's not like...
Or not do. Continue breathing.
Well, she's not... She doesn't... She's not a hammer. If she was a tool, a hammer would not be her.
She's very subtle.
Yeah.
And she gets that from her...
She's subtle.
Her grandmother?
Yeah, her grandmother.
I love that lady.
they call her the Queen of Thorns or something like that?
Yeah.
The Lady of Thorns? I don't know.
Oh, man.
Yeah, she... I love her. I love...
Yeah.
Whenever she's on screen, she commands it.
Yep.
For sure. Marjorie definitely has plans of manipulating Cersei to go someplace else. But where else would she go?
I think into the ground. That's what I'm hoping.
No,
what
I think
I'm really hoping.
She's going to direct her to go to Dorne, right? Where her daughter is. Because her son's lost to her, right? Her son's now in Marjorie's hands.
Yep.
And the only thing she has left to her as far as family is...
her daughter.
Is her daughter. Who's in Dorne. Which brings up something else entirely, since that's also where the Viper's from. Yeah. So there's all sorts of intrigue that could happen there if she went there. And all sorts of opportunities for her to end up in the ground and have a Cersei death scene. So let's cross our fingers that maybe she goes to Dorne. Maybe she'll bring the mountain with her to Dorne.
That would be interesting to see.
That would, yeah.
Well, they haven't shown him since his...
I know. I was hoping this... was hoping we'd get the Franken mountain to this episode, but I guess not. And so we go back to Pentos. You know what? I just realized through my notes that we combined the scenes for Pentos. So sorry if you're following along with our cast while you're watching it, which I doubt you're doing. But so we combine the scenes. This is where Varys...
they felt like they were very...
Yeah, well, they're a continuation of the same scene, really. So this is where we find out why Varys saved Tyrion. Oh, we get the cool thing where he's like, because, you know, he says he's compassionate. Tyrion's compassionate, Varys says. And Tyrion's like, compassion, yes. I killed my lover with my bare hands and shot my father with a crossbow.
Yeah, that was it.
Well, but what does Varys say?
Very heart of compassion.
You remember what Varys said? Huh. You're not well. I never said you're perfect.
These scenes were good. They had a lot of nice repartee.
Yeah. And this is where he agrees to drink, you know, he asks where he can drink himself to death on the road to Meereen. So sorry about that, folks. Got ahead of ourselves. Then we go back to Meereen. So it's Pentos Meereen. And we find that Hisdar and Daario have returned from Yunkai.
I thought they went to subdue.
Well, I think they did. Because he took the Second Sons, right? Or whatever they're called?
Yeah.
Second Sons, and they went down there and been like, you know, because he's like, let me take care of this. I can do this. So he did. I went with Hisdar, or whatever his name is. And they come back, but what is the tidings from Yunkai?
Did they have basically a proposition from the wise men? Right. They basically agreed to terms, but here are the terms.
Yeah, what were the terms?
They wanted their own council, but they would pass everything back to...
Well, that's what they... So that was kind of Daenerys' part. So they agreed to not have a slaver dictatorship. Instead, they're going to have a council of freedmen and former slave owners. And then any matters of contention, they'd bring to her.
Yeah.
But what did they want?
They wanted a fighting pit.
Then they wanted them reopened, right? The fighting pit's reopened. And Hisadar keeps arguing with her. But she has a pretty firm stance. No. No.
How many times am I going to have to say no?
I don't remember what this is, you know, politics. It's all about compromise.
Hisadar, I can't remember where he was from.
Hisadar was a former slave owner.
Okay.
That came to her to be like, hey, look, I'll be your liaison with these people.
Wasn't his father one of the people that was...
I think she killed him.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
She killed him and put him up, crucified him, right? Like those...
He was one of the people that came and asked for...
To take him down.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's the one that said, oh, my father... Well, he publicly objected to all this.
Right. So... Yeah, so he's been working with Daenerys, I think, you know, kind of like, you know, I want to help facilitate things so that, you know, we don't all get crucified out there on post. So, but he went down there and he's like, the one concession, it's politics, right? You have to make compromises. But what does she say?
Nope.
Why?
I'm a queen.
She's right. She's not a politician.
I'm a queen, not a politician.
Yeah, that's right. And he proceeds to argue with her, and then he's like, she's like, how many times do I have to tell you no before you get the clue? And then we switch straight to a bedroom scene between Daenerys and Daario, and we get some, we didn't get any full frontal nudity, but we got some full back nudity for the dude, Daario. He's in pretty good shape. But what is Daario's counsel?
He says, basically, yeah, I think you should reopen the fighting pits.
Why?
Just because it's there, like, and he gives his story of how...
Yeah, what's his story?
That he was a former slave.
Well,
and made his way, basically, through the fighting pits to...
Right. Do you remember how he became a slave?
I don't remember how.
His mom sold him, like, for a drink. Because his mom was a whore, and when she couldn't make any money from whoring,
so I caught that
she
button.
Wanted more drinking.
Yeah.
When she couldn't pay for the drinking, she sold her son, is what I'm getting. So she sold Dario into slavery. But he was a fighter, right?
Yeah.
He liked fighting, so they took him.
Money to his.
He eventually got sold to some guy who runs gladiators in the fighting pits, and that's where he learned all these different styles of fighting. So he learned all these different styles of fighting, you know, how to fight like a Dothraki screamer or something like that, and a Westerosi knight, and all these things. He won his freedom, right? Which the story is cool. But I don't see a fucking reason to open the pits.
This comes back to it. So he said he didn't win. He won enough to make his master a lot of money. And when the guy died, he made him a free.
Right.
How long did that take?
So, but it almost seems like, I don't know if Daenerys caves. She doesn't come out and say anything.
No. And I definitely don't feel like that's enough of a... I mean, so you're one success story out of...
Right. How many people die mercilessly in the fucking pits?
Are they fighting pits? Are they to the death? Because if so, chances are...
So they're not going to be slaves anymore, right? It's going to be freedmen fighting. So I guess that would probably be reason enough. Look, if freedmen want to come there and make their name, then let them do it. Because there's nothing keeping them. You know, if they lose, I guess they die. Or unless it's not to the death, then they could be horrifically wounded or just go about their day.
Yeah.
Whatever. So I guess I see his point, but his story didn't really.
It didn't bring anything to the table.
Yeah, I didn't think it brought anything to the table. So we'll see. We'll see if Daenerys follows his counsel. I think she probably will, because I think that's the way they're spinning it. Like, oh, I'm such a badass, and I wouldn't be here boning you if it wasn't for this fighting pits.
I think it gave him a little more credibility that he didn't argue about it, and he definitely didn't. He waited till she asked about it. He didn't just offer
yeah,
it.
You're right. He didn't. Push his opinion on her.
Yeah, like his daughter.
But when it came down to it, he's like, look, you're the queen and everybody's afraid of telling you the truth. But here's what I think.
Yeah.
And this is why. But you're right. He didn't like... First of all, he didn't do it publicly in front of everybody. That's how you get to Daenerys. You don't... Because what happens is when you do it publicly, she immediately hardens up.
Because it
hardens her resolve, and she most certainly will not fucking bend to your will.
You're undermining her authority.
That's right.
Making her look like a puppet. And she
right.
is young enough and a woman to boot that she can't really have.
That's anything. Right. She can't do that. She can't afford that stuff. So Dario's smart. First of all, you know, he lays the dick to her, and then in private, you know, is like, this is what I think you should do. So he got her all flustered with some penis and pussy play. And then, you know, then breaks open. This is what I think you should do, Danny.
But
do you remember,
then she asked him. He didn't just...
Do you remember what he says?
Not specifically.
So they start talking about the dragons, right? And she's like, well, the one flew off who knows fucking where. And the two are locked up. And he's like, why? Because I don't want another child's bones brought to my feet. And he's like, so a dragon queen with no dragons is not a queen. Which yeah. prompts her to do what?
She goes and visits them.
Well, how'd that turn out?
Oh, man. They did not seem that friendly. I felt like she could have walked in there a little bit further than she did. Because supposedly she's immune to the fire, right?
There's one instance of her being immune to fire. Not necessarily a dragon's fire.
That's true. Not necessarily dragon's fire.
Fire. And then, she went in there all timid, too.
Yeah.
She wasn't commanding, which I think makes a difference.
Yeah, but... You got to think those creatures are probably pretty intelligent. At least they have always seemed at least somewhat intelligent. And
they have an animal's intelligence at least.
Chained them up in the dark for.
Oh, I imagine they're not very happy.
X amount of days.
I mean, even just think about a dog that you do that to; they wouldn't be happy. I mean, they weren't skinny, so I guess they're feeding her.
Yeah.
So I bet they're feeding.
They probably have some contact.
I bet they throw in some beef or something.
Yeah.
To feed them.
But that doesn't keep them in contact with Danny, so Danny's probably lost some control with him.
But she got it, you're right. So they've gone feral on her. And so I imagine the next piece of the storyline will be her. That's why she's got to leave Meereen. To retrain her dragons. Or maybe to find the one dragon.
Or maybe those other two get loose and she has
to... Or it fucks it up and they have to leave anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was that was one of our original theories. That they'll eventually fuck shit up and she has to leave.
Now, so where did that other dragon go? I think he went to find Bran. I think he'll show up
Bran.
There. I think he'll show up there.
So our final scene of the night happens at the wall. It's probably the most poignant scene, the most powerful scene. And this is where Jon brings Stannis' terms to Mance. But what does Mance have to say?
Fuck that.
Why?
He's not bending knee to anyone. Because the reason he was king was because he had the respect of the wildlings. They're bending knee with
basically lose their respect.
Yeah, so, yeah, John accuses him of having too much pride. And Mance is like, fuck my pride. This has nothing to do with it. The whole reason, you know, because John lists off all the tribes, right? And giants. You know, you also got the giants. Well, I'll follow you.
I didn't do this because of my pride. I did this so that I could have the choice to make this.
Well, that, and he helped these people survive. It was all about survival is what it was about. And freedom. Survival and freedom. The reason he left the Night's Watch was so that he could have the freedom to make his own mistakes. I don't think that's why he rose to be king beyond the wall.
That might be why, part of the reason he led his people south.
Well, I think he led his people south for running pure survival.
Running from
them. I mean, it had to be done. And the only way they could do it is as a group. So he's all like, I can't, you know, it's not my pride. He's like, and if you don't understand why I can't do it, then I can't explain it to you either. But John's like, you know, I think you're making a horrible mistake because this would benefit your people. All you have to do.
Greatly, yeah.
Yeah. All you have to do.
He even says, he asks him specifically, well, how are you going to kill me, basically? He goes, burning.
Oh, well, yeah, because he's like, how is it going to be hanging? Are they going to behead me? What's it? And he's like, you're going to be burnt to death. And he's like, he's like, that's not how I want to remember.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to die by burning. That's not how I want to be remembered, screaming and stuff. He's like, but I can't do it. It's just not, I mean, I got to give Mance lots of prop. Because...
Yeah, he did not look thrilled at that prospect.
No. He was scared. Yeah. And then when they marched him up there and put him up there, right? So they march him out, and Stannis again offers the terms. But he just stands there and he's like, look, he's like, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I'm from here or whatever. He's like, and I wish you... He actually, you know, I think he sincerely wished him luck on his endeavors, right?
Yep.
But I'm not going to kneel. It's just not happening. So they march him up there and tie him to the post. And then Melisandre, of course, does some God propaganda about the one true God and starts setting the pyre ablaze.
You could definitely tell he was afraid and kind of...
Oh, yeah. I mean, but he wasn't going to give up.
Nope.
He started to scream, and then John gets disgusted, right? And I was like, as soon as he left...
I knew something.
Did you know he was going to do something? Yeah. As soon as he left, I'm like, he's going to go shoot him.
Yep.
Or go up there and put a sword into him or something. I kind of had hopes he'd just cut him free, but that wouldn't... accomplish That's anything.
Kind of, because I saw him like standing off against Stannis and all that.
But what does he do?
He puts an arrow in Mance.
Yeah. He spares him suffering. Yep. What he does. And of course, you know that it's going to piss Stannis off all fucking kinds of
Sounds like there's going to be some consequences.
There's going to be some consequences. And maybe this is where John becomes... So you saw all of Mance's captains... There, they were all there, witnessing this shit, and then they witnessed John sparing Mance some suffering. Stannis is going to get upset at John. What if those two tussle and John kills him and then starts commanding
everything?
Everything.
I thought about that, but I thought it might be like
that. Seems a stretch.
John becomes the leader of the
wildlings.
We made that. Made that proposition a while ago.
Yes, we did.
And I. Even if it is under Stannis' banner.
Well, he could approach them and be like, look, I'm already, you know, if you do this with me, then I will guarantee you that we will give you land and leave you the fuck alone.
Yeah. And especially since he's now in a position to take back the North.
Yeah. I mean, because he is kind of the last heir to the throne, right? That's known because Sansa's in the wind, Arya's in the wind. He's a bastard, but I mean, it's also forsworn any titles by joining the Night's Watch. But this is kind of a new era, right? So the rules don't apply kind of now.
And I feel like even Alistair Thorne would probably, especially if he became Lord Commander, would be glad to see him go.
That's true. He would be glad because he'd be a constant thorn in his fucking side.
Yep.
That's interesting. Yeah, so it's going to be real interesting to see how this plays out because.
That or I wonder if it's, you said popular vote for the Night's Watch, Lord Commander. John isn't. I think John's going to walk out a leader of something.
Yes. He has to gain some kind. I mean, he already had. Well, he gained some respect with the wildlings when he first went there. But then when he betrayed them, they lost respect. But I think this kind of restores, you know, at least it's kind of like he's honorable, you know, like that was the right thing to do. Mance wasn't going to... Obviously, the king said he had to die, but John kind of made things right.
And as far as the Night's Watch goes, when... wasn't it Melisandre said, you know, I've talked to people around here, and they say they either love you or they hate you.
Oh, yeah. That was Davos.
Davos.
That was Davos. So, a lot of people around here love you. He's like, they're good men. He's like, a lot of people don't like you. Yeah, so Davos has the lay of the land. I got to think that he's got a part to play with John. Because I like Davos.
Yep.
And he's always about, though he was a thief early on, right? He's all about doing the honorable, the right thing these days. So John killing, kind of ending Mance's suffering also probably scores in points with Davos.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Yeah, because I would have liked to have done that myself, but I'm so far deep that if I did that, I'd be executed. Yeah. So I can't even say shit about him.
No points with Melisandre. Yeah.
Right. So who didn't we see this episode? Arya.
No, we just saw no Arya.
No Arya. We saw her in the recap walking away, but that's about it.
Yep.
And then...
still haven't seen Bran. No Bran.
No Bran. No Osha or Rickon. No Boltons. No Mountain. No Boltons. No Theon / whatever he is now. Reek.
I consider him Bolton at this point.
Okay.
We didn't see any Greyjoys.
No Greyjoys.
We don't really see them that often.
We didn't see anybody from Dorne.
No Dorne. Even though I think they cast. When they're talking about the cast.
There's his brother is coming. The Viper's brother, I'm pretty
sure.
And
some of the sisters, I think.
Yeah, well, of course, his half-sister or whatever, or stepsister that was there.
But they cast some more of them. Some more of
them. Did we see the king? We didn't see the king of King's Landing.
Tommen at all.
Yeah, Tommen.
We didn't see the Queen of Thorns. Is it Queen of Thorns? Or Marjorie's grandmother.
Yeah, Lady Tyrell.
Yeah.
And then, no Faceless Men. No Brotherhood Without Banner. So there's a lot of pieces in play that we don't know about.
I feel like they're connected with the Sparrows somehow. But then again, you know, they worship the God of Fire or whatever.
Yeah, because they're connected to Melisandre.
Yeah, which is not the Seven.
So. No. Yeah, so it'll be interesting. Like I said, overall I thought that the dialogue in this episode was really good. The final scene was awesome. The Tyrion and Varys scenes were awesome. But overall, it was kind of... It came in like a lamb. So if we're comparing this to stupid, superstitious, spring-type metaphors, this came in like a lamb, not like a lion.
Yeah, but you look at the last couple seasons.
Or it came in like a wolf, I guess. But they're all dead.
I mean, I wasn't expecting a spectacle out of like a recap premiere episode.
Well, when a season premiere, I'm always expecting a kick in the nuts.
Like a grab your attention.
Yes, you got to. Yeah, I think there's too much. Do you know how many? So, do you know how many viewers this episode got? 8 million.
What was the normal?
The record from last season. So the season finale was like 7.1 million, and they had another 7 million episodes.
Do you know how those are counted?
So that's Nelson ratings. So Nelson puts a box and random people home, random as a you know like a base selection that's supposed to be representative of the whole, and then they make some kind of calculation off that. So, but that's 8 million viewers on a premium cable television channel, HBO. So that's insane.
I am really curious to see what the subscription rate for HBO now.
Oh yeah, how has it increased or whatever?
Versus like pirating? What's that?
Well, I know that they've kind of been lax about dealing with piracy before until they. All four of the first four episodes got leaked before the season premiere.
Well, even just like piracy versus... Because it's like...
It's still the most pirated television show.
Yeah. But I mean, if that went dropped a significant amount with HBO Now.
No.
You don't think so?
No. I don't think... Piracy never goes away. I don't think it drops or declines.
I don't think it goes away, but there have been like...
I think that...
There was some correlation like with some Netflix stuff that basically showed when you offer it... Like, in a manner that people can access, they will pay for it.
Oh, yes. Definitely, when accessibility increases your bottom line. What people need to stop thinking, in my personal opinion, I think they need to stop thinking piracy is a competitor. Or they're losing to piracy. They need to stop that mindset, that you're losing to piracy. First of all, you need to stop calling it theft.
But how many people would go with, like, HBO Now versus piracy? Do you think that there's a significant number of people that jumped from one to the other?
I don't think if you graphed it, it wouldn't be a huge dip.
There are definitely quite a few holes with the HBO Now thing. I think you have to have
You have to have an iDevice or a particular provider. And of course, they have HBO Now, and they have HBO Go, which is the old one, which required a television provider. And then they're decreasing the barrier, which is good for them.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying is they need to look at piracy as a competitor. and not something illegal that they need to squash. Okay. So they have to decrease the barrier, make it easy for people to get content, provide additional... So you need to provide value to your service. There's no value to the Pirate Bay, all right? It's not like there's a huge community there that is there making things better for you. Yeah, 'cause you have to be aware of viruses and all this other shit, right? I mean, you don't want to fuck yourself.
It's more difficult than logging into Netflix.
It is more difficult logging because there's an app. Yep. There's pretty icons. It streams nicely for you. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So you need to provide value to your service and decrease the barrier to get your content. I mean, in 10 or 20 years, I honestly do not see cable companies functioning as they do today as these big bricks of fucking content that they provide people. It's going to be more a la carte. I mean, HBO doesn't need fucking Comcast unless they overturn the net neutrality thing.
Yeah,
and they can throttle everybody's bandwidth. That's the only reason you need Comcast. But as far as I'm concerned, you don't. I mean, it's like, you create a fucking partnership with Netflix.
There are any...
I would pay a premium to have additional channels on Netflix.
Agreed.
$2 a month, $2 a month, whatever. Like, whatever it takes. I'm not going to pay an extra... HBO Now is $15 a month. That's fucking ridiculous. HBO doesn't have that much content to make me pay. That's twice what Netflix is. Fuck that. I'll just wait for the damn Blu-rays to hit. You know? Or I guess I'll pirate. So. Or continue watching it as I watch it through my dad's HBO Go. It's just, you know. But yeah, you know, I mean, that's another.
I'm definitely interested to see what the. If they release any kind of, like, numbers around that. I definitely want to see more numbers.
Oh, you want to see numbers? Like, did with the release of HBO Go, did the number of pirates drop?
Or the HBO, yeah.
It's hard because I think the number of pirates just continue growing. So it's basically you need, did it impede the growth is what you need to ask. Well, the question you need to ask is, did it impede the growth of piracy? So was there a... Did it slow down the number of people who download it? I don't think it would ever drop because there's just more people that, you know, more people are going to be exposed and download it.
I don't know.
To reverse piracy would be insane.
I don't think you can just slow it down. I don't think so. The last couple studies I saw show that the numbers weren't that outrageous. There's not like.
Well, here's the thing.
You're adding a million people to the number of people who
pirate. Like, I don't think piracy means equals dollars lost.
No.
Sometimes, maybe.
I definitely agree with that.
But it's very low. It's a very low percentage. Like, the percentage of piracy... It's a very low percentage of piracy is actually dollars lost. Like, if these guys couldn't download it, they would be forced to pay you. That happens not very often. Because they just weren't going to pay you anyways. And if they can't get it, they can't get it. And they get something else. So when these people think, oh, it's theft, they're stealing from my bottom line, that's bullshit.
But as just specifically around this show, because it's the most pirated show ever, I want to see if there is a decline in what they're projecting.
Oh, yeah. But I'm sure those numbers are available, Jesse.
Are they?
Well, you know what? Since Now and Go is their own proprietary service, they probably don't release those numbers. Just like Netflix, they don't release numbers either. So you know that, like, when they have, for instance, Daredevil, or, you know, they have their own original programming, they don't release numbers. Like, people ask, you know, what's your viewers? And they're like, we had a lot. Because releasing those numbers don't do shit for them. You know, why do television networks release numbers?
Usually to promote popularity of a show.
No. To get advertisement.
Oh, yeah.
That is why, or, sense. You know, to be included in somebody's cable package, right? So, television networks only give a shit about how many people are there for advertisement, because that's how they make money. Netflix has a subscription. People are already making money, so all they care, they don't need to tell anybody else. They just need to let people know that we have this content available, and this is how you access it, by signing up a subscription. They don't need to give you and me, or anybody fucking else, any numbers. It's not in their business plan, their business model. It's not in their business model to hand out those numbers.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about the HBO didn't build a streaming service to do this. HBO Now.
So HBO Go, they actually hired someone. They built a streaming service. HBO Now is actually through the MLB's streaming service.
As in Major League Baseball?
Yes!
That's weird.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day at work.
So, oh.
Because they were, there was some surprise that it held up.
Oh, really? And I've never streamed anything from Major League Baseball, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah. But there was, you know, because I doubt the number of viewers probably a little bit different for Major League Baseball versus Game of Thrones. But I mean, in my opinion, that would probably be a big difference there.
So is there anything else we're looking forward to here? I think between the season finale and this recap episode, I don't think we've introduced anything else besides I want to see Arya with the Faceless Men murdering people.
Yep.
I want to see the Boltons dead. I want to see...
I want to see some Dornish revenge.
Seriously dead. I want to see Tyrion kick some ass. And I want to see Rob lead a horde of wildlings somewhere. Like up Stannis' ass or something.
I want to see Bran riding.
Oh!
I want to see Bran.
What if he lets Stannis go siege Winterfell and then he comes in with the wildlings and take it over? Like, thanks for doing my dirty work. Later, fucker.
I don't think that'll
Well,
I think we'd see Rob and the wildlings sieging Winterfell.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, that's about all I have.
Yeah, I want to see Bran warging into a dragon. And then...
Oh, warging a dragon, yeah. We'll have to see that. All right, until next time, you can reach us at facebook.com/facelessmencast. You can reach us at facelessmencast on Twitter, and you can reach us on Google+. Just search for the Faceless Men podcast. And we'd like to say thanks to Remix Fix for providing our intro and outro music. With that, I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm your host, Jesse. Valor Morghulis.